Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. After a months-long search, St. Louis has a new chief of police. John Hayden, a 30-year veteran of the department, fills the vacancy, left with the resignation of Chief Sam Dotson 8 months ago and a position held since by interim chief, Lieutenant Colonel Lawrence O'Toole. Joining me to talk about the selection of Chief Hayden are Attorney Anthony Gray, General Counsel for the Ethical Society of Police, and John Chasnoff, is co-chair of the Coalition Against Police Crimes and Repression. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Good to be here, Doc.
Yes, you're both relieved, I'm sure, that this process is over and done with finally.
Yes.
Anthony, let me begin with you. Give me your general reaction to the appointment.
Well, I think as an organization, speaking on behalf of the organization, they're optimistically hopeful that there would be a change in the department for the better. And so at this point, I can say that most members are in a wait-and-see pattern and taking that kind of posture as John Hayden takes the reins and began to implement his policies.
John Chasnoff?
Well, I had advocated long for an outsider to come in and reform the department. So I was hoping that we had somebody who could come in with fresh eyes. But John Hayden brings a lot to the position, both good and bad. He, being an insider, he knows St. Louis well, he knows the department well, and that could serve to his advantage. But at the same time, he has certain baggage. People have had some experiences with him out on the in the streets during protests where they haven't always been happy with his supervision of the troops. He was grilled pretty hard yesterday around his knowledge. What did he know and when did he know it around the shooting of Officer Green? The black officer was shot by a fellow officer. So he comes with some of that baggage, but also bringing a lot of strengths to the job.
Anthony Gray, what do you think? And I know you're speaking essentially for your organization, but very generally, do you think it's more beneficial at this time to have someone who is homegrown, someone who knows the turf, or might it have been better to bring in someone from the outside?
I think an internal candidate was best under these circumstances because of what's going on in the city. It's in dire need of leadership, someone that can hit the ground running, and no one that needs time to learn the system and a learning curve. St. Louis is not a learning curve city. Lives depend on it. So John Hayden is best suited because he's plug and play. He gets into the position, he changes a badge, that's pretty much it. And now he's the leader, and he can just take on all those things he was already tackling before he became the chief. And so it's an easier transition for an internal person versus external. And because of that, I'm in favor of an internal person.
What about the process of selection? It took a long time. I'll start with you, Anthony. Did it work well? Did it work? Was it a satisfactory process?
Well, Don, it was a different process. It was kind of a pilot in a sense that there was a lot of community input. The Ethical Society of Police actually had a seat at the table in which we were able to vet and discuss with some of the candidates their qualifications. That was very unique, very different, and I appreciated the process. Not sure if this is the process we're going to adopt going forward, but I think for this selection, it worked well.
John Chasnoff, how about you?
Well, it was very historic because it used to be that the police chiefs were kind of chosen in back rooms, you know, smoke-filled rooms, and suddenly we'd hear an announcement.
It's political.
This was very different and historic, and I have to give the mayor some props for opening up the process and including the community. That being said, it was a new process, and there are some things that went wrong along the way that didn't operate perfectly. I think we can adjust it and do it better the next time because I think some of the community input, which was very strong, kind of got filtered out through some of the inertia of the process.
You early on, just after the announcement, were talking about the issue of trust and how important it was for him to establish trust in the community. Mm. How does he do that?
Well, so I was a little disappointed with his response to that question yesterday. He talked about getting out and communicating with people, and that's important. But I do think that trust doesn't really come through talk. It comes through action. So I think when we start to see real reforms in the department, see things changing, then the community can begin to build some trust. And part of that change has to do with de-emphasizing the kind of old arrest and incarcerate model that we've always pushed. He talked about community policing, but real community policing de-emphasizes arrests and emphasizes more how do we get to the root causes of problem and solve them before they turn into crimes. Yeah. And if he goes in that direction, I think he'll build that trust.
I understand we have Representative Bruce Franks with us on the phone now. Let's bring him into the conversation. Bruce Franks, thanks so much for being with us.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me, as always.
Let me get to something that caught my attention when you first reacted to the appointment of the new chief. You said that you were cautiously optimistic. Why the sense of caution?
Caution because, as we know, we're talking about an entrenched system. We're talking about years and years of policing. No matter how good of a person you are, no matter how great of a person you are, you've still been in this system for 25, 30 years. So that's where the caution comes in. And it just has to be there because we've seen this play out before. We have to be cautiously optimistic. I couldn't get out there and just do cartwheels and backflips, because it wasn't O'Toole. We still got somebody from in the department who's been there for 30 years and who's seen a lot of stuff.
Well, O'Toole is not going away. He's going to be the assistant chief, as I understand it, and it sounds like a fairly strong position for him. You okay with that?
I'm definitely not okay with that. I'm not okay with that at all, and I would hope that I would have hoped that the public safety director and the mayor paid attention to just the community and how outspoken folks were across the board about not having O'Toole even in the department, especially out of all of the egregious things we've heard and we know that's occurred under his watch and that's occurred because of him. And to give him a $7,000 pay raise and keep his position, to echo a few people and especially our Ethical Society of Police, that's a slap in the face to the community.
Stay with us, if you would. I'll put that same question to Anthony Gray and John Chasnoff. What do you think, Anthony?
In terms of the caution?
In terms of O'Toole.
Well, I understand. I echo the comments of Bruce Franks. I think if there's a resistance to his leadership in the department and people have experienced very negative interactions with him, I don't think that was a wise decision to make at this time. I think that what should have happened in this particular case, and who knows how John would have handled that, the current chief, but I think he should have been positioned and then his input should have been taken into consideration for who would serve as his deputy chief, and that didn't happen.
John Chasnoff?
Yeah, I agree. I think it sent some mixed messages to bring in somebody and say we're a new era and there's going to be changes. Well, then why are you putting an obstacle in the way of the new chief making those changes in the future? He needs to be able to come in and create his own leadership team and put together the package he wants moving forward.
And Don, when you keep in mind now when John is on vacation or on any kind of leave, O'Toole is the chief during that interim time. So he's heading the department after Bruce Franks and others have voiced their serious concerns about him leading.
Bruce Franks, my understanding is as the new chief is going to be meeting immediately with his district commanders. What should he be telling them about dealing with protests?
I think what he should be telling them is everybody has the right to exercise their First Amendment. And simply because you don't like what we might be protesting or speaking out against doesn't give you the right to use excessive force and be agitators yourself. That's one thing we've seen since September 15th and before September 15th, even dating back to Ferguson. But I think he has to have a real conversation. He has to have a real candid conversation. And I'm not all the way for sure what that conversation necessarily looks like, but it's time to get in there and shake some things up and have some real candid conversations about the way that policing has happened these last years ahead of us.
John Chasnoff, what do you think he should be telling his commanders?
Well, I think when things have gone horribly wrong, it's often been for two different reasons. One is attitude of some police officers who take the protest personally and act in a kind of vengeful manner towards the protesters just on a personal basis, and that has to stop. And then I think more broadly, we've seen problems when the response is very militaristic and based on tear gas and equipment and a heavy repressive hand on the protesters. So I think if we make the response to protests more human and more personally interactive and compassionate, I think we'll do much better.
Yeah. Anthony Gray?
I think he has to remind the commanders, because I know this is John's attitude, that they are public servants. They're here to protect and to serve. Even the ones that are protesting are those individuals that they are sworn to protect and also serve. So it's a mentality shift. And if he could filter that through the commanders, set the thermostat of the department at the temperature he wants it to be at, then I think that would at least begin the process of interacting differently. I agree with John about the mindset of some of the officers that are on the front line taking it personal and all, but you can't do that. You are a public servant. You are here to protect and serve. You keep that in mind, and I think everything else will work out.
Bruce Franks, I've already asked the other gentleman this question, but I'd like to get you on the record. I'm pretty sure I'm familiar with your position, but how important was it to you to have someone local and internal take this job?
So I had mixed feelings about it. I had a couple candidates who I felt from other cities who I thought would have been great. I've been able to work with them over the years. I know the communities they come from. I've seen some of the things they've implemented onto their departments. But you get a sense from what the sense I got from the community, especially with some of those forums and those workshops that were set up, is people from the community wanted somebody from St. Louis because they wanted somebody who knew the lay of the land. And so it's really you stuck in between a rock and a hard place, because you want something new. You want somebody coming here that's not entrenched, that's not connected to the politics and bureaucracy to get in here and really shake it up. But then again, you want to listen to the community and what the community wants as well. So I think the choice to actually choose Chief Hayden was the best choice at hand, realistically, especially out of the top six candidates.
Do we have any sense, and I'll just throw this out to all of you, any sense of new ideas that he might have? And I'm talking new ideas. Community policing is not a new idea. Mm-hmm. Any new ideas that he might have? Anthony Gray, I'll start with you, to bring to this job.
I don't know if there's necessarily you could take a new idea. I don't think he should try to reinvent the wheel, but he has to improve upon the policing that is already acceptable as a practice. Policing nationwide has a certain protocols that occur in certain incidents. John needs to make sure that it occurs in accordance with those protocols, which would probably be new and different from past administrations. Mm-hmm. And once you bring a fresh idea, fresh set of eyes to something, I think the implementation of some of the old policies might be new. And that's what he needs to focus on, just making sure he does it that way.
John Chesnut?
Well, he did talk yesterday about setting up a mobile office out on the street where people could come and talk to him and he'd be more accessible. And I thought that was a refreshing idea. But the big picture, his view of what is the mission of policing and how do we go about tackling crime problems? Do we do it the old-fashioned, knock heads, arrest the bad guys' ways, or are there different approaches? We haven't seen that from him yet, so I'm curious. When we do sit down and talk, that we have some of those discussions and just see how open he is to some new ideas.
How about you, Bruce Franks?
So I actually shared a sentiment with Mr. Gray. But what I will say is I heard Chief Hayden say something at the forum, and he talked about, and he was the only one outside of Keith Humphreys that talked about changing the culture. Which to me would be the ultimate fix, because we talk about not reinventing the wheel and community policing not being anything new, but we have an old culture. We have a culture that's entrenched and ingrained. So if we can get somebody in there who's willing to change that culture, and that culture change comes from the top, then I guess in essence it is something completely new than what we've had.
But he's been on the force for 30 years. Maybe it might have been time for someone younger to come in talking about new culture.
And you know what? One thing I will say, because I try not to sound like I'm just lobbying for Chief Hayden, and Chief Hayden's a good dude, but it's just like a football team. You could have an offensive coordinator who's been offensive coordinator for 10, 15 years. And when he becomes head coach, things change. And I think that we know the ranks. We know where that power structure is, and we know what the real power structure is of the police department, and we know the bureaucracy and the politics. So hopefully what happens is him as chief, he can implement a lot of the things that he wanted to implement. He can say a lot of the things that he's probably wanted to say or push forward on, or push for some things that he actually did push forward and got some pushback on. Mm-hmm.
I think that's my sentiment exactly. And from that extent, you have a person who was just waiting for the opportunity to burst on the scene and get his ideas implemented. And probably during the time that he was serving in these other positions, you got to remember, this is a hierarchy. This is a chain of command. He took his direction from the top, and he definitely couldn't buck that system and create that type of scenario. Otherwise, he probably wouldn't be here today. So laying back and waiting your opportunity to emerge on the scene, what's the best approach? And let's hope that he gets a chance to implement some of those things.
John Chasnoff. Yeah.
Well, I think that's all very true and very possible. It's also true that we've seen a lot of folks come in who want to make changes, and they get subsumed by the culture of the police department that Bruce was talking about. Mm-hmm. And so I think it comes down a lot to strength of character. When you're finally in that commander's chair, are you willing to take command? Are you willing to crack some eggs and make a difference? And we've seen chiefs kind of go both ways on that. We'll have to see what kind of character John is.
Our time is winding down. I'll go around the table on this with a final question. John Chasnoff, what will you be looking for from him in the days and weeks ahead?
Well, I'll be looking to hear from him some talk about police as guardians instead of warriors, as problem solvers instead of just arresters and enforcers of the law. I think if we see that kind of conversation, we'll have somebody who's changing the conversation, and I'll be looking for those kind of signals.
Anthony Gray?
I'll be looking for, as I stated before, fair and equitable applications of the rules of the department and also the application of law on the citizens. And so if he could go back to what John said and Bruce, if he can change the culture and have officers understand you come every day to protect and serve, if he can instill that in them, I think we will see a difference overnight.
And Bruce Franks, the final word on that?
I'm going to be looking forward to see what he does as far as accountability when it comes to the Luther Hall situation as well as the Milton Green situation. Now that he is police chief and he talked heavily about accountability, this is the way to bring forth that trust back into the community by holding one of your own accountable and letting us know that you're not going to treat them any differently than you're going to treat anybody else. So I'm looking forward to see how that plays out and to see that everybody gets held accountable for their actions.
Just very quickly remind our audience of the two people that you just mentioned.
So Luther Hall was the officer who was beaten. He was an undercover officer disguised as a protester, and he was beaten by other officers. And Milton Green was one of our officers, our black officers, who was shot by a white officer while he was off duty, at his residence in his neighborhood. Both of those cases are egregious. The circumstances surrounding them are horrible. And those are two of the reasons why O'Toole shouldn't even be assistant chief.
Well, the new chief certainly has his work cut out for him. There's no question about that.
No doubt.
I want to thank you all, gentlemen, for being with us. Representative Bruce Franks, thank you for joining us by phone. John Chasnoff, great to have you in studio along with Anthony Gray. Always a pleasure to see you guys. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.